Creativity is contagious. Pass it on in any way possible. Albert Einstein. Hi, creatives. Thank you for joining us on this new episode of season 3 of Brewing Up Creativity. I am your host, Daniela Bonte, and I am a full-time entrepreneur and the lead graphic designer of my Toronto graphic design studio, Daniela Bonte Designs. I'm on a mission to inspire creatives like yourself to pursue your creative dreams one podcast episode at a time. Whether you're new here or an avid listener, I'm incredibly happy you're here, and I'm really excited about today's all-new episode. Hi, and thank you for tuning in. I am coming at you all with a personal episode talking about self-sabotage and some of the attributing factors to it, particularly our digital society. We all have self-sabotaging triggers. Mine might be different from yours, and yours might be different from your friends or other family members. The list goes on. But speaking from personal experience, my self-sabotage lies particularly in my work and in my field of graphic design. So maybe like my portfolio or how I'm posting my work on social media, in particular, Instagram. If you're any form of a designer, you know that people actively post their portfolios on social media and projects they design for clients or as passion projects. Now, as much as it is inspiring and motivating to see these beautiful projects, I occasionally start to have self-doubt and sabotage set in. Sometimes I become so hard on myself and perhaps even get a touch of imposter syndrome. Well, okay, I shouldn't even say a touch. I will get imposter syndrome from time to time. However, I know I'm not the only one who does this or has gone through this. And I think that's why we openly have these conversations in this community and even on my business page for my graphic design studio. And I love talking to other designers. Again, a huge reason why this podcast, Bring Up Creativity, exists. We all seriously don't have a single unique experience. And it makes me laugh because once you start talking to people with similar mindsets or in similar fields, we realize we've all been there and we felt those things. We have all done the exact opposite of what is technically good for us when our unintentional or intentional actions backfire of logging into social media and we start comparing or like we're unknowingly engaging in self-sabotaging behaviors before I actually started recording today's episode. I Googled some information about self-sabotage because I actually really wanted to learn more about this. Like, yes, I can talk about this from personal experience and a personal background and be relatable, I guess, in any way, shape, or form, and be honest about what I do personally. I also just wanted to learn more about like the statistics behind it. Now, maybe that's the research geek in me, but I swear sometimes when we hear these numbers, we feel like it's even more normalized. And yes, these conversations are great. That's why we have them, right? This is why podcasts exist. We weren't even really talking about these kinds of things generations and decades ago. It wasn't even a conversation topic, to be honest with you. So it's crazy how time has come. But nevertheless, I just found it interesting to read through some of these statistics. So did you know that self-sabotaging behaviors and thoughts are actually learned in childhood through example, experiences, and modeling, and sometimes, and all too often, are passed down from one generation to the next. Now, I found this very interesting. I found this interesting because I was raised in an amazing way, but often I found we could be a little hard on ourselves in my particular family. And when I was talking to other family members or other friends, it was interesting to see like the different confidence levels and how often somebody else self-sabotaged. Now, obviously, we've all been there and we've all done it, but I could tell like maybe I was doing it a bit more than the other person who was told to do like daily affirmations and we're always told like, you're amazing, great at this. You're so great at this. Let's do more of it. Oh, I notice you really like this. Let's do more of it. You're beautiful. And when I'm thinking from personal experience, and when I read this statistic, I thought that is so interesting. Because if I hear my parents talking down on themselves, then I feel like that's normal. Or if I heard my grandparents, and that's why this statistic brought up generational self-sabotage. So I actually found that quite interesting, how your environment and your relationships and who you look up to end up associating later on in life and coming back up. And that's how you kind of talk to yourself if you heard your parents or your grandparents or close relatives talk down on themselves and sabotage themselves and compare themselves. You start to normalize that behavior and you think, oh, well, if Susie has this and I don't, or Susie's really great at this, who's to say, you know, it's not easy for you to do that and fall into that pattern. So I found that actually very, very interesting. But it's normal. I want to say comparison is normal. It does lead to self-sabotage, which is, like, again, what we're completely talking about today. We can compare ourselves to anything, everything. And that this is the part where it's like, I find this term actually of self-doubt or sabotage to be very, very general. With that being said, there might be some of you tuning in who might be comparing or talking down on yourself in different capacities. And today I'm only really talking about it in terms of how I go through it, and it's more so related to work. And I wouldn't actually say like that's passed down from generations, because I was the first person in my family to pursue something creative. So I do know that some people will talk down on themselves if they feel like they're not the most active version of themselves, and they see people posting workouts and looking like their best on social media, when in reality, totally misconstrued. We're always just posting the best parts of our life, right? And that's why this digital society is absolutely insane. We post the best moments and the best angles and the best poses and when our hair's done and when we got our makeup done, and people think, wow, that's what this girl looks like naturally. That's insane. And not to mention, it is so easy to edit photos now and make it seem like you're living this glamorous life, when really on your day-to-day, you're doing what everybody else does, and you're going to work, or you're working from home, or you're running your business, and it's not always pretty. Your hair is messy. Your desk is probably a mess. You probably could organize that file folder that you have on your computer or desktop, but probably won't. But we always show when our planner is perfectly color coordinated and we got that new candle, or we bought that Starbucks coffee, or our to-do list that we did that day and we got through because we want to celebrate with people. So it's like, digital society only really talks about what is amazing in our lives. And that's when self-sabotage comes in, because if you don't actively choose to celebrate with that person, and you might start comparing and feeling that imposter syndrome or that doubt, oh, why didn't I get that much done today? They got so much done today. Why didn't I? How come I didn't put on any makeup today? Oh, I should have worn my jewelry today. I feel like a bum. Like, it's so easy to fall into this kind of stuff. And I catch myself doing it all the time. And I will get into this in more depth as to like how we can avoid it and like literally say, stop. This is so not worth it. So with that all being said, I will use specific terms that I've often even thought to myself, and it might not even be the most recent, but I've said to myself, you know, I am not the most athletic person. I can say that and laugh about it today, but when I was self-sabotaging as a kid, I would be so jealous of kids in my class that were like so great at sports, and I would think, wow, she's so athletic. How come I'm not? Or when I got into singing professionally and through lessons, I would think, her, you know, this girl's voice is so angelic. Why am I so loud? Like, why are some people's voices so like soothing and calm, and mine's just kind of like in your face? And it didn't matter because I was like practicing that form of singing, but for some reason, that was just a thought that I would have in my head. And then like more recently, self-sabotage has turned into social media and seeing people's work online. And I would think, wow, that design is next level. I wonder why I've never thought of doing something like that. And this is so funny that I say these things to myself as a professional in this industry, in the graphic design industry. And if I have like a mentorship student and they're expressing these things to me, I am so nice to them, but I speak horribly to myself some days. Now, don't get me wrong. I have worked really, really hard to make sure that like I am not killing my own creative inspiration by talking down on myself. But, you know, we all have those days. And so when I'm like talking to people that are part of like my mentorship program or maybe past employee, past internships or past interns, anybody or somebody just getting into the field and there's no association, they just reach out and ask for some advice or just to chat. I always say like there is a place for you at the table. And if you feel there's not, grab a chair and just get started. Open your mouth, start speaking, start showing your work. And that's all you need to do. Even if your brain is saying, oh my gosh, your work is nothing compared to that person. Because once we start self-sabotaging and saying that, we're often probably comparing ourselves to someone who's had a completely different journey, completely different skill sets, a different story, different education, different experience. And it's not even relatable. And that person probably even has that you're comparing to and you think you're not as good as, they have no idea that you're even thinking that. And odds are they probably think that about you. And that's the crazy part about it. In the last few years, email marketing has transformed the way we can reach an audience in a personalized way to increase sales and our relationships within our community. Proven buyers or potential buyers appreciate being kept up to date with the latest products and promos, but I'll admit, I am really picky when it comes to designing or sending out emails. I want a platform that makes it easy for me and allows me to customize the design so it stands out and is beautiful to look at. I've experienced more traction in my email list and sales through using Flowdesk for my email marketing. Flowdesk is for beginners and experts to send emails people love to get, to create high converting checkout pages, and grow their business, all in one place. We're offering all of our listeners a special promo code to get 50% off your first year using Flowdesk. Check and use the link in our show notes to transform your email marketing and reach your conversion goals. But let's get back to talking about digital society and how it affects and triggers self-sabotage for most people. It's no surprise to learn that self-sabotaging behaviors show up in our digital habits and patterns. This is something else. Like, for instance, compulsively checking social media accounts, your texts, your emails. And another statistic, a recent survey by the American Psychological Association found that more than 8 out of 10 Americans are attached to their phones. Of those surveyed, 86% said they constantly or often check their emails, texts, and social media accounts. And people who constantly check their phones are more stressed and anxious than those who do not use technology and social media as frequently. I will say, I had to put my phone on Do Not Disturb. And some people hate that I do that and that I have my phone on Do Not Disturb. Okay, well, let me just say they don't hate it. But I've always been asked, why are you on Do Not Disturb? Because if you have an iPhone, like if you know, you know. And this is because when you have an iPhone, if you click the conversation that you're chatting with somebody, it says so-and-so has this conversation or just their phone on Do Not Disturb. And of course, for those that might have Android and don't know about this, when you put your phone on Do Not Disturb, it is harder for someone to get a hold of you. You won't get notified about a text. It'll just go through silently. Like it still delivers, but it's silent. And you'll still get phone calls, but you can also put like email notifications on Do Not Disturb when you do this method or social media, all of that fun stuff. And actually a lot of friends that run a business, and we often laugh because if I see my friend has that set, I'm like, hey, you know what? I'll message them tomorrow when I know this is not on Do Not Disturb. I have my phone on Do Not Disturb from 9 till 5. And I've set out specific times of the day when I know I need to be online and I need to be on social media for engagement, for posting, for whatever it is, right? I've got set out times because if I don't do that, I fall into a literal trap of being on my phone all day. And it took a long time for me to just like really come to terms with the fact that I don't have the self-discipline without Do Not Disturb to not check things. I have so many vivid memories of just watching a movie and once a boring part came up, oh, let me check my emails. Or if I'm watching a show and it wasn't as entertaining as I thought it was going to be, I wonder what's happening on Instagram right now. And, you know, going through my DMs, seeing if someone's messaged me, did somebody engage with my content? Like it was becoming obsessive. if I'm going to be honest, and without discovering Do Not Disturb. And I swear this is like a new feature, like only in like the last 6 to 8 months, which I consider new. Without it, really, or maybe it's been a feature and I just completely never looked into it, but I seriously swear by it, because it prevents me from any distractions that could lead me on that downwards spiral. So I actually don't want to know who's engaging with me on social media right away anyways, but because if I did, I would 100% engage back right away. And if I got notified and I didn't have my phone on Do Not Disturb and I got notified about an email, I want to email back or check compulsively to make sure I have every email attended to, because I have this mentality of like, I love checking things off like a to-do list. So if I can just email them back right away and know that it's done, then it feels good. It's like a rush of dopamine for myself. And I had a therapist about like 2 years ago where I was actually talking to her actively about what I was doing in my practices in my business that were causing me to be burnt out. And she said, like, no one even cares if you respond within 1 minute or you comment back within 1 minute. They want you to get back probably within reasonable business hours, but they're not going to expect you to get back to them right away. And if they do, they're probably horrible clients. And it's just a you thing. It's you're setting this out for yourself and putting these high expectations on yourself that oftentimes aren't really even that achievable. So why are you hurting yourself in that way? And I had to really like consider, wow, I really am just choosing to hurt myself. Like, I am choosing violence. And I had to like crack jokes about it. But nevertheless, it's so easy to create a downward spiral and become our own worst enemy. And I swear it's harder to manage these feelings sometimes with how everything we do in everyday life or work life, we often feel or say to ourselves, should we post this for people to see online? I was told a little bit ago that I don't post much on my personal account for social media. And I kind of chuckled, because this person was saying, like, you should post more. Like, you haven't posted in 6-7 months on your personal account. Like, I don't even know what you look like. I don't know what you do. And in my head, I thought, like, that's intentional. I used to post way too much and take pictures of everything I did. And it was so exhausting. I had to make sure everything was edited perfectly and it didn't look ridiculous. And I won't lie, I'm still guilty of this. But when I do post occasionally, but that's why it's better for myself to be present in the moment versus focusing on how I can make it look so great and perfect for people to see online. Because like, we are doing it to each other. And how is every moment of your life going to be perfect? Because it's not. We don't always have amazing days. We don't always look our best. Like, heck, I've been bloated for the last week. And it doesn't mean I'm going to post about it. I'm just bloated. But the way society is gone is that we're posting everything we do. And it's great in some ways, but in other ways, it is easier for us to self-sabotage if we don't notice what we're doing to ourselves. Just want to say, though, it wouldn't be a Brewing a Creativity episode without some good old friendly tips. And this is what I was talking about earlier on. Because I do think it's possible to stop the cycle of self-sabotaging behaviors and thoughts by becoming aware of our larger emotions, such as anxiety, loss, and depression that trigger and makes one more vulnerable to these cycles in the first place. With time, practice, and patience around working on replacing these negative behaviors with positive ones, self-sabotaging behaviors can become less and less a part of who you are, or things that come up maybe once a week or once a month or whatever it is, how often you find it's happening. Sometimes it happens every day. Like, what are we going to do? But we can do something. So the first thing I want to just mention is that we need to identify these triggers. Specifically, maybe like, let's talk about the digital triggers. Seeing a friend's post about her new baby might not be your trigger, but seeing that same friend's post about her new promotion might put you in a terrible emotional space. If you happen to be struggling with your own career, or you're in your head about how you're not where you want to be just yet, why don't we step away from social media during these difficult moments, take a step back, just as an act of self-protection and self-care. And that doesn't make you selfish. You are happy for that friend. As much as you feel hard on yourself in that moment, it has nothing to do with your friend. You are happy for that friend. You are their cheerleader. You are their confidant. They will come to you and probably want to celebrate. It's easy to self-sabotage in these moments, but we are all on such a different journey that to compare is really hard on ourselves. I am in my late 20s. So for me, I've seen a lot of people get engaged. I've seen people have children. I've seen people get married. And I had to put a reset on my life a year, not a year ago. It was actually a couple months ago. I don't know what I'm talking about. And it was really hard for me because I was comfortable. This is like really personal, but like I was really comfortable in this relationship, even if it was toxic, and I knew I deserved better. And I knew in particular, the person I was supposed to end up with wouldn't treat me that way. And I had to listen to that voice and not let what was happening to me sabotage me, and not letting all of these posts of people celebrating love on social media bother me. And I let it bother me for a long time. I would think to myself, why not me? And then I thought, I can't keep comparing myself to people. I am literally asking to sabotage and put myself in a hole. And it's not healthy. And it impacts how you go about, like how early you wake up, your creative motivation, your work inspiration. It impacts how you're socializing with people and the topics that you end up bringing up. Because obviously, if something's bothering you, you find a way to bring it up in conversations. And there's nothing wrong with talking about it with your therapist or someone you absolutely trust. But there comes a time when you have to stop sabotaging and reflect and eliminate yourself from this position. So this meant I literally couldn't go on, not couldn't, but I did not want to go on social media all that often knowing this. Now, like I said, we're all happy for people that achieve these accomplishments or are going through these amazing milestones in different ways or posting that amazing project online and their creativity and what they really conspired. But if you know there's something that could trigger you possibly, then really just take the time away from social. Secondly, let's disrupt self-sabotaging digital behaviors with offline distractions. So distractions such as reading a book, watching a movie, taking a warm bath, or doing short bursts of intense exercise can immediately help to interrupt your brain's self-sabotaging behaviors. I have made an active choice to make sure that I'm working out throughout the week, that I am going out to get a coffee and treating myself once or twice a week, that I do little things outside of just what like we feel we need to be doing by being online 24/7 for work, if that's what you have to do for work. Speaking personally, again, so like initiating and making sure to have these offline distractions are so great for your mental health. And please don't feel like you need to post it. There's no pressure. We're putting the pressure on ourselves, to be honest with you. But it all depends. I mean, like I don't want to be an influencer or content creator, but if you are one and you're tuning in, I know so many content creators and influencers that just say, I didn't film this weekend because I just want time for myself. I needed to get away. And like, I admire that when somebody says that, because I know how hard it is to keep your camera rolling all the time to take that perfect picture of that matcha latte and croissant you just bought. And like, don't get me wrong, love me doing that. I love doing that, especially if I know that latte and that croissant is going to hit different. But really, if you know you need that time, you often feel it. It's almost like a burnout feeling. Like, take it. Go offline. Like, put your phone literally on Do Not Disturb or even like airplane mode or something. Anything. Lastly, daily check-ins. Pause and reflect on your feelings before logging on to social media. You can do daily check-ins by regularly putting your thoughts and feelings down on paper. I mentally just have so many conversations with myself that if I know I am feeling so tired that day, and if I'm already low energy and something can make me a little more upset as easily, more easily, then I know I probably shouldn't log on today and I will just maybe check in tomorrow instead. And like I said, like dedicating specific times to being on your phone. Now, if you're feeling low energy in the morning and you know you might feel better in the evening, definitely consider maybe just checking in later on. Give yourself that time to just be there for yourself. And that's that. There's no explanation needed for anybody or yourself. It's just, you know your body and you know how you're feeling. And today's not the day to be checking in as much as you thought. Digital self-sabotage is something I aspire to stop and manage, because if this is how we feel in this time and generation, can we imagine how it'll be when we have children in their generation? I want to be able to help them in any way I can to navigate these sort of things, considering how rapid the digital world is growing. Like, I can think back to 10 years ago that Instagram and social media wasn't even really used for business marketing at all. And just in the last 5 years, it's grown significantly. If I started my page for my design account 7 years ago, it's kind of crazy the time and what we've done to get here. Where we are today, what I was posting then is nothing in regards to what I'm posting now. Like, it's so much more intense and showing people like the daily to-dos and how I got to a design versus just showing the result. Like, people want to see all those things now. It's insane. So chatting with creatives and opening the doors for these conversations allow myself and others to realize this is normal. It is kind of sad now that I think about how self-sabotage is normal, but it's just because I know we've all been there at some point, and we all do it or have done it in some shape, way, or form. I will be opening the door for more conversation over on Bring Up Creativity's Instagram page around the time you're listening to this. So if you feel like chatting or putting forward your personal experience on this, I am always happy to chat with you in any way. And I truly hope this podcast episode helped you in any way and it spoke to you on any level. And I just want to thank you all for tuning in.
Thank you for tuning into today's episode. We're always brewing up something new for all of you to tune into and love hearing from you. Our team over here on Brewing Up Creativity would love it if you joined our community in any capacity. Whether it be checking us out on Instagram at Bring Up Creativity or leaving a review to help us better serve you as listeners. If you're looking to join or sponsor an episode, reach out to us through email, which is linked in our episode's show notes below. Thanks, creatives.